All right, everybody, if you'll take your seats. The Higher Education Appropriations Subcommittee will come to order. Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Shove.
Here.
Vice Chair Hawkins.
Here.
Ranking Member Benjamin.
Present.
Representatives Anderson.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Caruso.
Good morning.
Chambliss. Cross.
Here.
Daniels.
Here.
Franklin.
Present.
Garcia.
Present.
Griffiths.
Here.
Maggard.
Here.
Horace.
Here.
Redmond.
Here.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Quorum being present, I want to welcome everybody here this morning, bright and early. Make sure your cell phones and other devices are turned off. Members, today we're going to hear five bills. I know a couple of us, myself included, have bills up. And on that note, we are going to make sure and move the meeting along so that every bill is heard and everyone has an opportunity to be heard. Members, also want to remind you that since we are an appropriations committee, we are going to be focusing our questions on the fiscal impact of these policies. With that, I'm going to pass the gavel to Vice Chair Hawkins. Get us started.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairman. Members, now let's go to CSHB 339 by Local Administration, Federal Affairs, and Special District Subcommittee and Representative Yarkoski. Representative Yarkoski, you are recognized to explain your bill on the education of dependents of deceased or disabled service members, prisoners of war, and persons missing in action.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, committee, for hearing this bill today. In Florida, we have a program called the Children and Spouses of Deceased and Disabled Veterans Scholarship Program, and this is for the spouses and children of service members who have become permanently disabled or were killed in the line of duty. And currently, the program says that in order for you to take advantage of this program, you had to be a Florida resident prior to receiving your disability status with the military or prior to the death of the service member. So in order for, you know, someone to come here to Florida today, as we know, I've heard every kind of stat, up to 1,600 folks a day moving to Florida, we have a little glitch in the system, an unintended problem, so we're going to hopefully fix that today with your vote, and that is, someone moves to Florida that received their disability status in another state, there's no way to cure that currently. You can't move here, undo your disability status, establish residency, then get your disability status again. And clearly, if you perish in the line of duty, there's no way to become a Florida resident prior to that. So what this bill will do here today is allow those folks to move to Florida, establish residency per the tuition guidelines in Florida, which in most cases is 1 year. And once they meet that requirement, then they can take advantage of these great programs that are offered to the families of our service members who allow us to all be here today and do what we do. And that, Mr. Chairman, is the bill. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Representative, for that explanation. Members, are there questions on the bill? Representative Benjamin, you're recognized.
Just one question. Is this your first time up?
No, sir, it's not. I hear that every time now, but it is not. And I can honestly say it's not.
Yeah. It's first time in this committee, though.
That is true. It is the first time in this committee, and I'm honored to be here.
So what is the fiscal impact of your bill?
So I was looking at that last night, and they talk about that they're not exactly sure what that fiscal impact would be. They say that the average person that takes advantage of this program, you know, through whether it be 2 year, 4 year programs, it's roughly, I think, around $60,000 per person. So they're not sure the impact, because obviously it will depend on how many folks participate. But I think within the next year, we'll be able to tell fairly quickly what that is.
Questions? Members, any other questions? Okay, we'll move on to public comment. Bob, I'm going to butcher this name, and I am sorry, my first time as chairman. Is it Astalos? Thank you. Thank you for being here. Do we have any other public comment? Seeing no other public comment, members, any debate? Any debate on the bill? Representative Redmond, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, thank you
for bringing this bill forward. I will be voting up on this bill. On behalf of my constituents who have served at Duke Field, Whiting Field, Pensacola NAS, Hurlburt Field, and Eglin Air Force Base, we all thank you for this bill.
Thank you. Any other debate? Any other member like to debate? Seeing none, we'll close debate. Representative Yarkoski, you are recognized to close on the bill.
I just want to say thank you for that comment, and this is a constituent of mine, Staff Sergeant Mike Bryant from the U.S. Army, retired, brought this to our attention, and my brother, God bless him, is currently serving his last couple years before retirement at Eglin Air Force Base, so this is personal to me as well, and so I thank you all for your favorable vote here today. And with that, I close, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Having closed on his bill, Emma, would you call the roll?
Chair Schoaf. Vice Chair Hawkins?
Yes.
Ranking Member Benjamin?
Yes.
Representatives Anderson?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Chambliss? Cross?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Magern?
Yes.
Forrest?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote for CS, for HB 339, will be shown favorably. Congratulations, Representative. Let's now go to HB 517. Representative Rudman is making his way around since this room only allows one entrance, so just give him 1 minute. When he comes in, there he is. Hey, all right. Representative Rudman, when you are ready, you are recognized to explain your bill on nursing education for military combat medics.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ranking member and co-sponsor Benjamin, and my fellow members of the committee, it is my pleasure to present to you today House Bill 517, the Pathway for Military Combat Medics Act. For military medics who wish to enter nursing school, this bill will create a standardized protocol for them to receive course credit or credit hours for the training they've already received. It would require the Articulation Coordinating Committee to determine a process by which to award credit and establish a list of course equivalencies and clock hours for combat medic courses and training. Once approved by the Board of Governors, as well as the State Board of Education, all public state universities, the Florida College System, and Florida Career Centers would award credit hours or course credit based upon this approved list. That is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there questions on the bill? Yes, Representative Caruso, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Representative, just wanted, is there a limit as to how many hours they could get credits for?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Caruso. Currently, we have not set any limits in the bill. However, those decisions will be made by the Articulating Coordination Committee, so that's yet to be determined. I can point to a similar program currently at the University of South Florida, where they kind of have a pilot program that we will be patterning ourselves after. They traditionally award up to 8 course hours, perhaps as little as 2 or 4. So that kind of gives you a background on what's currently being done at one location.
Thank you. Yep.
Members, any other questions? Questions of the representative? Seeing none, we'll go to public testimony. Bob Estalls, again. Okay, thank you. Thank you for being here. Next public speaker, Scott Berube. Waving support, wish to speak? Do you wish to speak or are you just waving in support? Okay, all right, if you wish to speak, can you come forward? Or are you just waving in support? Okay, thank you. Thank you for being here. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify on this bill? Seeing none, we'll close public testimony. Members, we're in debate. Is there anyone who would like to debate on this bill? Representative Cross, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman.
Representative Rudman, just wanted to commend you on this great bill. We know that we have a nursing shortage, and there are people who have frontline experience who can help to fill some of that gap. So thank you for bringing this great policy forward.
Thank you. Representative Benjamin, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would like to thank the Representative Rudman for bringing this great bill, and I'm proud to co-sponsor it and add to the pantheon of legislation that helps to make Florida one of the most veteran-friendly states in our union.
Okay. Anyone else? Representative Caruso, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Representative, great bill. It's about time that we give credit for all those real-life services and that our veterans perform so in the field of duty. So thank you very much.
Okay. Any other member wish to debate? Seeing none, Representative Rudman, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I believe I finally caught my breath from running from my seat to the dais, so thank you. Members of the committee, at a time when we are predicting a nursing shortage of 60,000 nurses by the year 2035 in Florida, this bipartisan bill addresses that shortage while doing the right thing by our military. Incidentally, I heard yesterday from the dean at Northwest Florida State College back in my district. They are planning on opening another 25 nursing school slots each year, dependent on this bill passing, and that's just one school. I urge you to vote up on this good bill. I can assure you my medics currently at Duke Field, Hurlburt Field, Eglin Air Force Base, Whiting Field, and Pensacola Naval Air Station, medics who manned the front lines in Afghanistan and Iraq for your benefit, they are ready to assume their positions on the front lines of America's healthcare system, again, for your benefit. They are just simply waiting for you to give the order. Thank you.
Members, Representative Rumna had closed on his bill. Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Schoaf, Vice Chair Hawkins?
Yes.
Ranking Member Benjamin?
Yes.
Representatives Anderson?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Chambliss? Cross?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Magern?
Yes.
Horus?
Yes.
Rudman? Yes. 13 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, we will show HB 517 shown favorably. Congratulations, Representative. Now let's go to CSHB 679, Post-Secondary Education and Workforce Subcommittee, and Representative Kennedy. Representative Kennedy, you are recognized to explain your bill on agreements of state colleges and state universities with foreign entities.
Thank you, Vice Chair Hawkins. Thank you, Representative Ranking Member Benjamin, and all of the committee members for hearing my bill today. This bill addresses the partnerships and the agreements that many of our state colleges and universities have with foreign countries of concern. These countries include Iran, Russia, North Korea, Cuba, Venezuela, Syria, but especially China. Now, not all collaborations are problematic. Some of them are actually quite beneficial. But common sense dictates that our Florida universities must not have ties to the Chinese Communist Party's civil military fusion strategy that is often executed through research labs associated with Chinese universities. This bill requires Florida State colleges and universities to publicly disclose all of their partnerships with foreign countries of concern. It prohibits the giving or accepting of gifts. It authorizes the Board of Education and the Board of Governors to properly vet the grants, partnerships, and agreements. But it also provides an on-ramp for those partnerships and agreements that may actually be in the best interest of students and valuable to our country. It provides an enforcement mechanism, and that, members, is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, do we have any questions on the bill? Rep. Anderson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, Representative, for bringing this bill forward to us. You mentioned a term that I'm not familiar with. I think you said Chinese military civil fusion. Can you speak a little bit about that? What is that?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Anderson. military-civil fusion as it, at its core is the Chinese military's attempt to modernize. And they modernize with a goal of achieving world dominance by acquiring the world's cutting-edge technologies. And the way they do this, the way they go about this, includes establishing the kinds of partnerships that we're talking about with sometimes programs that happen in the United States. It is the goal of the Chinese Communist Party to acquire the types of intellectual property that we own. And it is our responsibility to make sure that that strategy is not successful in the state of Florida.
Rip, do you have a follow-up? All right. Representative Porras, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Kennedy, for this fantastic bill. Could you help the committee understand what kind of research activities these Chinese universities are having with our Florida colleges?
You are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd be happy to just give a few examples. And in the interest of brevity, I'll just share a few. I'm very happy to meet with any of you and talk more about this. University of Shanghai for Science and Technology, for example, has defense research labs that are focused on optics, focused on weapons research, and we know take on classified military projects. Sichuan University has at least three labs that focus on defense research, and they have a close relationship with the Chinese Academy of Physics, which is China's primary nuclear warhead research facility. There is Zhejiang University that has, again, at least three defense labs focused on computer simulations, cybersecurity research, and collaborates with China's civilian intelligence agency. And those are just three of the close to 20 partnerships that either have existed or currently exist between institutes in China and American, specifically Florida universities.
Thank you. Do you have a follow-up? Recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so these programs have partnerships with our Florida universities, and could you say if you know how many?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sure. So we know that partnerships have existed and do currently exist between Chinese universities and at least six Florida universities. The purpose of the bill is to learn more about exactly what's going on. One of the challenges that we have is because there's no reporting mechanism, there's no requirement that state colleges and universities disclose these partnerships. We really need more information. So the ones that we know about are frankly a little terrifying. And it's the intent of this legislation to make sure that we have the appropriate guardrails in place.
Thank you. And I want to remind the members, we want to keep our questions on the fiscal impact to the state. Representative Porras, do you have a follow-up? All right. Representative Maggard, you're recognized. Oh, no, you didn't? Representative Benjamin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What do we believe to be the fiscal impact of this legislation?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill bans gifts from foreign countries of concern. 3.05% of the gifts to universities came from foreign countries of concern. There were 19 reported gifts from the People's Republic of China and two gifts reported from Russia in the last fiscal year, which totaled about $5.2 million or 4.47% of gifts. And so there is no fiscal impact reported other than the gifts that would be banned under this bill.
Mr. Chair.
Very good. Yes, you're recognized for follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What were the nature of the gifts? Were they cash? Were there you know, other physical assets? What was the nature of the gift?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. They included goods and services purchased from private companies located in countries of concern. There were 9 of those gifts that totaled $887,000. There was a donation of artwork valued at $700,000. There were collaborative degree programs with Chinese universities, 3 of those totaling just under $2 million. Research agreements with Chinese companies and universities totaling just under $1 million. And clinical trial agreements, 5 of them totaling just under $700,000.
Thank you. Members, do we have any other questions? All right. Is there any public testimony on the bill? Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Franklin, we'll go back to questions.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks for presenting this bill. My question is around the possible impact on research. How many do we know? How many dollars of research that our institutions might be gaining, even from the federal government in partnership with some of these? And I think I understand completely the intent and the concern, and but that's my question.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's extremely important to me that those research opportunities that we may have, even with foreign countries of concern like China, that are in that meet this two-pronged test, both in the best interest of students and not detrimental to the safety or security of the United States, that those be preserved, which is why there's this on-ramp. So what's required under the bill is when there are those opportunities for those positive collaborations, they are simply reviewed to make sure that they do meet that two-pronged test. And so in terms of the research dollars federally, I don't have that information. I'm happy to look into it and get back to you. But it is extremely important that we maintain our own competitive advantage. And to the extent that international partnerships help us do that, it's important to preserve them. And this bill does that.
Thank you. Showing no public testimony on the bill, members, any debate? Debate? Representative Porras, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to thank the sponsor again for this great language. In Miami-Dade County, a couple of years back, we actually had a public college that had a Confucius Institute with various partnerships with China. And they shut down only because of the lack of enrollment. And I think being, you know, first generation, Cuban American, and coming from a family that knows, you know, what's gone on and what communism has done across the world, it's kind of astonishing to see that our taxpayer dollars that we go to some of these public universities help these causes. So I want to thank you again, and I'll be up on the bill.
Thank you. Showing no other debate, Representative Kennedy, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Wave close, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Will the committee please call the roll on the bill?
Chair Schoaf?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hawkins? Ranking Member Benjamin?
Yes.
Representatives Anderson?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Caruso? Chambliss?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Redmond?
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, members, and by your vote, the bill passes. Congratulations, Representative. Now let's go to House Bill 931 by Representative Roach. Representative, you are recognized when ready. And Representative, I see you have an amendment. Would you like to start with that start with the bill, then we'll get to the amendment.
Good morning, Chair Schoaf and Ranking Member Benjamin. Chairman, House Bill 931, I'll go through real quickly the 4 provisions in the bill, and then I'll address the fiscal, and we can talk about the amendment, if that would please the chair. So House Bill 931, there essentially does 4 things. It amends Florida statutes in regards to the intellectual freedom and viewpoint diversity assessment. Members, you may recall that we passed that in 2021. This provision of the bill would simply change the date on the survey from December 31st of each year to December 31st rather than in September. That's when they have to report the results out. Second thing the bill does, it creates a new statute, Section 1001.93, to establish the Office of Public Policy Events within the state university system. This part of the bill begins on page 4 at line 82, and that that office will just continue Florida's commitment to viewpoint diversity by putting some requirements in place to have an office that seeks to engage speakers with diverse viewpoints to come to campus. The third section of the bill begins at the bottom of page 7 at line 174. It prohibits political loyalty tests in hiring and admissions at our universities. And then the fourth section of the bill and the final section begins on line 218 on page 9, and that serves to extend due process protections to the 12 university student body presidents that serve in the Florida FSA, Florida Student Association. So 2 years ago, we put into place some due process protections for members of governing student bodies at the universities themselves, but we neglected to extend those due process protections to members of the FSA. This simply fixes that omission and extends those due process protections to members of the FSA. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman, and I can take questions on the bill or I can go into the amendment.
Let's go into the amendment.
Yes, sir. So in looking at the original bill, if you look at the bill analysis and you look at the fiscal, you'll see that the fiscal, the bill as written would require the Board of Governors to establish this office with a fiscal of one FTE and about $150,000 in salaries, benefit, and expenses. You'll see that there under fiscal. It also says that there's about a $483,000, almost $500,000 for each institution. And then finally, the bill allows an institution to recover per diem and travel at approximately $200,000 per institution. Well, at our last committee meeting, we identified that we may be able to rein that in a little bit. So what the amendment does is instead of staffing an office, the amendment sets forth that the BOG shall establish a committee on public policy events. So we're taking away that office at each university and simply replacing it with a committee, which we envision will be a committee of volunteers, which will not need to incur an FTE or those additional salary and benefit expenses. Also, instead of requiring a satellite office at each university, we're putting an office of public policy events. So what we're doing is instead of putting the office at the BOG, we're just putting the office at each university, and they can point a director of public policy events. Also in the bill, one of the things that was brought up in the last committee, there was a rather vague term in the bill that required each university to conduct a substantial number of events. There were some questions about what does substantial mean, so we're clarifying that. In the amendment, lines 39 through 42 of the amendment and line 108 of the original bill, we clarify substantial events by stating that, and I quote, the university shall hold no less than 4 events each academic year. At least 2 events must occur during the fall semester, and at least 2 events must occur during the spring semester. So we put a finite number on that. And then finally, a very minor change in line 144 of the original bill, line 68 of the amendment. The original bill requires a number of factors and criteria to be reported to the BOG every year. We just added one criteria, which would be the number of students attending each event, to those lists of categories to be reported to the BOG every year. That is the amendment, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Members, we're going to ask questions on the amendment. Representative Gallup? Nope. Any questions on the amendment? All right, public testimony on the amendment. Debate on the amendment. All right, let's go back. Ranking member, you're recognized for a question on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With the number of events now being defined, are we still asking for the $200,000 for this category?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Excellent question, Ranking Member. Yes. So when you look at the fiscal on page 12 of the analysis, and you see it has 3 different potential fiscal outlays there, the only one that I believe would still be applicable would be the last one. So we're cutting out the $151,000 in the FTE and salaries and benefits. We're cutting out the almost $500,000 that it required the BOG to stand up an office at the BOG, and the $200,000 per institution to allow them to pay for per diem and travel expenses for speakers is an estimate. It's one we got. I believe we got that from the BOG. I think that's pretty high, but that is what they estimated it would cost. So we're keeping that in there, yes, sir. Estimated fiscal impact.
Thank you. Any follow-ups? Representative Franklin, you're recognized for a question on the amendment.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. And with these changes, are these resources still expected to be absorbed by the university? Or are we looking at allocating funds for this program?
You were recognized.
Yes. So, yes, we do anticipate that the office at each university will be absorbed by existing resources.
Thank you. Any other questions, members? All right. Public testimony. Showing none. Debate on the amendment. No debate. Representative Roach, you are recognized to close on your amendment.
Waive close, Mr. Chairman.
All those in favor signify by saying yay.
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 Opposed, no. Show the amendment is adopted. We are back on the bill as amended. Members, are there any questions on the bill as amended? Yes, Representative Cross, you are recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative Roach, for some of the changes based on our conversations in the post-secondary education and workforce subcommittee. I did have a question, and hopefully this is germane to this, but we did see another bill, HB 999, by Rep. Andrade, and if that bill passed, it would state that the Florida College System Institution State University, Florida College System Institution Direct Support Organization, or State University Direct Support Organizations may not expend any state or federal funds to promote, support, or maintain any programs or campus activities that promote concepts listed in Statute 1000. These are related to students of particular race, ethnicity, national origin, gender, disability, or marital status. It also lists advocating for diversity, equity, or inclusion, promoting or engaging in political or social activism, or government speech or expressive activity. So, wondering how this may intersect with your bill specifically looks at providing funding for some of these diverse viewpoints.
Representative, you are recognized to answer that question.
I think I've presented six bills this session so far. That is by far the best question I think I've had. And unfortunately, I cannot answer it. I think your question is germane to the bill. I'm not familiar with that provision in the other House bill. I can't answer it. But I would just say this. If you're going to throw your support behind one bill or another, you should pick this one.
any further questions, members? All right. Is there any public testimony on the bill? We have Amanda Proctor, Opportunity Solutions Project. We are waiving in opposition. We've got Shakir Abdella from the ACLU of Florida. Would you like to speak? Nope, you're waving in opposition. All right. Members, we are in debate. Any debate on this bill? All right. Showing no debate, Representative Roach. Oh, yes, I'm sorry, Cross. You're recognized in debate. Y'all gotta be fast. Look up.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Roach, I would like to explore this a little more with you. I did vote no on this previously. I'm gonna vote yes today, but I think that's an important clarification that we need to make.
Thank you. Representative Roach, you are now recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. I'll be brief. Yes, I will follow up and find out the answer. That's a great question. Sorry that I don't have the answer to that, but I will get it. And in closing, I'd just like to thank members of this committee and the previous committee for pointing out some budgetary issues that we have sought to correct. And I'd like to thank Ms. Kira Smith as well for working with me so much on this amendment. And I know I have not been the most accessible or the most responsive and as quickly as I could have been. So thank you for your patience in getting this amendment in working order. That I close, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Will the committee administrative assistant call the roll on the bill?
Chair Schoaf?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hawkins? Ranking Member Benjamin?
No.
Representatives Anderson?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Caruso? Chambliss?
No.
Cross?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Franklin?
No.
Garcia?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
For us?
Yes.
Redmond?
Yes.
Ten yeas, three nays.
Thank you. By your votes, I show your bill passes. Congratulations, Representative, and thank you. Now let's go to House Bill 1019 by Representative McLean. Representative, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chairman Shove. I would say Rep. Hawkins, but he's not here, and Ranking Member Benjamin. I appreciate the opportunity to present House Bill 1019. House Bill 1019 restores choice for Florida's private college students by expanding access to tuition assistance grants, and it would restore consistency in Florida's financial aid programs. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, and I show we have a strike-all amendment. Would you please explain the strike-all?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, the original bill was a little, it was more broadly written, and there were some stakeholders that I needed to have some more conversation with. That's happened in the just in the last day, and so I felt it necessary to cut the bill down a little bit just to make sure that I have an opportunity to meet with some stakeholders, talk a little bit more about their programs, and then also to think there's a little bit of maybe a longer term there could be a little more longer term implications to this, and I want to make sure I understand all that before I include everyone. And so this bill, so that was the reason for the strikeout.
Thank you, Chair McLean. Members, do we have questions on the amendment? Ranking Member, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question because I'm not sure what the original bill does and why it does it, and therefore I don't know how this amendment is affecting that.
Okay. Chair, would you like to explain?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll try to. So the original bill, so just going back in history a little bit, so there was some grants that were called ABLE. We did away with those a few sessions back, then left these in place. During that process, for-profits were left out of the opportunity to be able to access some of these grants. So the original bill includes for-profit colleges now. Also, it included some other colleges whose matrix had been turned in a few years back, not quite as robust as I think that we would like to have. And so so they were included. Those are the ones that will be out of this. Once on the amendment, that's what I pulled out till I can have a better understanding of what their matrix are currently. And so that was the reason for that. And again, the original bill.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. Do we have any public testimony on the amendment? No? Debate on the amendment, members. Debate. All right. Representative McLean, you are recognized to close on your amendment.
I'll waive close.
All right. All those in favor signify by saying yay. Yay. Opposed, no. So the amendment is adopted. Now we are back on the bill as amended. Members, do you have any questions on the bill as amended? Is there any public testimony on the bill? All right. We have Evelyn Cardenas with the Central Florida Auto Dealers Association. All right. She is a proponent. We have LaShawn Roberts from Herzing University. Okay. We have Mark Anderson with South College. You are recognized, sir.
I just briefly, Chairman, wanted to say thank you for hearing the bill. I want to just give some thanks as well to Kira. Your staff have been amazing to work with, and Chairman as well. You and Chairman McLean, thank you. Chancellor Steve South of South College is here as well. He will wave in support of the bill. But just to answer your question, Representative, real quick, the money follows the student in higher ed financial aid programs for private college students everywhere they go. In need-based aid, money follows the student no matter where they go. In merit-based aid, same is true, money follows the student. What Chairman McLean's bill does is ensure that that third bucket of funding called tuition grants also follows the student. And when that other program was repealed, there was only two tuition grant programs in that bucket that were that existed prior to July of 2021. When one went away, some students got caught in that net who, through no fault of their own, had chosen to go to school at a school like South College, who is putting graduates into nursing programs and are doing so in jobs that we know are staying in the state of Florida. Good actor, doing playing by the rules. That was not something that I believe that was intended to hit those types of students. So this repairs that inconsistency, as the chairman said, and enables that money to continue following the student. So thank you.
Thank you. All right, we have Mr. Steve South from South College. Would you like to speak, sir? All right. All right, members, we are in debate. Debate on the bill. Any debate? Okay. Representative McLean, you're recognized to close on your bill.
I'll waive close.
All right. Will the committee administrative assistant please call the roll?
Chair Schoaf?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hawkins? Ranking Member Benjamin?
Yes.
Representatives Anderson?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Caruso? Chambliss?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Daniels?
Yes.
Franklin?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Horace?
Yes.
Rudman?
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. By your vote, the bill passes. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chairman and members.
All right. This concludes our committee agenda. Is there any further business to come before the committee? All right. Seeing none, Representative Cross moves, we rise. Meeting adjourned.